Coming up on TMS, Irish Roundabout is not a sex move.
New improved 20% thicker Scott.
Brian's extra thick bottom.
Spanking mint.
I don't like burger cheese.
Ah, I'm being scissored.
You ever lose your corgis?
Riddled with dumbasses.
Don't rub the pink lipstick zone.
Raw Viking ass.
You put your Kyber weed in it.
I'm feeling lucky with this back rub.
Prince 14 bras.
Kids, ask your uncle.
Only murder castles in the building with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, dear, and Bluebell's here.
I hope you brought your Scott towels.
Nope.
No Scott towels.
Something better. New improved Scott towels. A new combination of softness and strength.
Feels thicker, cushiony.
Each sheet is 20% thicker. Soft enough for this angel's face. Strong enough for this devilish mess.
Softness and strength in one paper towel.
That's new improved Scott towels, honey.
I just swallowed a bee.
The Morning Stream. Come over here, Mr. Pokemon Man, and let me get a peek at you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Monday. Almost looked like April. August 15th. Mm. Oh, it's my brother's birthday. Crap, I got to call my brother and tell him happy birthday. Anyway, 2022 is the year. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello. The Ides of August are upon us, Scott.
They are indeed here.
I mean, we don't need to beware these, though. These are fine. We don't need to. Don't beware the Ides of August.
No, yeah, nobody gives a shit about these Ides. These Ides are dumb. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Take your Ides and
these Ides cried every night.
That's right.
For you.
Yeah. Big, wet, teary.
Ask your parents about, Three Dog Night, I think.
Yeah. Maybe your uncle.
These Ides have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another woman like I have with you.
Yeah. I think uncle, maybe. Not, you know, doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Right. All right. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. The Guess Who, not Three Dog Night. Thank you, taxi cab.
Oh, phew. Dodge that bullet.
The Guess Who.
Dodged that bullet. All right. Hey, we're back, everybody. You know what? Before I forget, I need to register a complaint. All right. Complaint time. People, look, we ought to have a course when you go get your driver's license. You know how the process is now? You go around the track and you do the little things.
Yeah.
You got to parallel park a couple of times.
Do it in your car with a clipboard, making sure you do everything correctly.
Right. And then you got the written test. You got the whole schmear. We're expected to do things, you know, well enough to pass so that you can now legally drive a car.
Yes.
You should. There should be a class on how roundabouts work. They tell you all about four-way stops. They tell you about how you do when you're going to turn against the light and all this stuff. They do all that already. Throw in just a tiny, tiny bit about how a freaking roundabout is supposed to effing work because nobody seems to freaking know but me. I'm the only one. It's killing me. And I know you Europeans are laughing. You're thinking, you don't know what a roundabout is. They have roundabouts with roundabouts over there.
They have a roundabout built into another roundabout. You actually go through the roundabout within a roundabout.
Right. The whole Irish economy is based on roundabouts, is my understanding. But anyway, people are dumb, dude. They treat them like four-way stops. They don't get it.
Right. Right, exactly. It's like, no, there's nobody in the roundabout currently. Go in, into the roundabout.
And we have one that we have to go through. I have actually the only two ways. I shouldn't say the only two ways. The only big major two ways to get into where I live have roundabouts before each major part to get in. And both of those are constantly riddled with dumbasses. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there. That's my complaint.
Yeah, no, I think... could it be that they weren't as prevalent in the times that they set up those training courses that probably haven't been updated since 1984? Mm-hmm. That driving instruction doesn't include them, because they absolutely 100% need to include them now for exactly the reason.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you're probably right. Like when I grew up, I don't think I saw a roundabout till I was 30.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that long. So we're not used to them over here. I get that. It's a thing. You know, America a little slow on the roundabout uptick or whatever. Yeah. But now we've got them, and they're smart for certain situations, so they make sense from a traffic point of view. Maybe just spend five minutes learning how they work if you're going to drive on them. That's it.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the ones in Ireland need to be a little bit more obvious, because there was one that I came to that was basically the size of a personal pan pizza in the middle of the road, a little white circle, like the size of a personal pan pizza.
Oh, man.
That I couldn't tell was an actual roundabout that we were supposed to treat as a roundabout. Give us a sign that, you know, is the typical roundabout sign that has the little arrows in the circle. Mm-hmm. Bobby says they should put signs. They should just put signs at them that say keep moving or something. Well, it is kind of misleading, because 90% of the time, yeah, keep moving. But there's the times that there is actually a car in the roundabout. You don't want to keep moving.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, you still want to be cautious and take your time and watch for dummies and all that. But it just, I cannot remember the last time I went through there unscathed. It's always stupid. Someone honks.
Oh, always somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll say again, the Ireland roundabouts, there were some on what I would consider to be the equivalent of state highways or, you know, not interstate highways, but like you're going the equivalent of 55 miles an hour, whatever it is in kilometers. And then you come to a roundabout and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, you really gotta be on your game to slow down enough to determine if there's somebody that you're going to hit. Nope. Nobody's in the roundabout. Great. But then slow down enough to make a very sharp right turn and a very sharp curve, and then another sharp right turn.
Well, I thought it was also miles over there. No, do you get what? Was
no, it's kilometers in Ireland, but it is miles in Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay. I thought the whole UK.
And it was a good point. We go around left and not around right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Correct. That's the word I should use. Not right.
Yeah. And that was also confusing, because our gauge in the car was kilometers. So once we entered Northern Ireland, we had, you know, we basically, since I was driving and Tina was navigating passenger, we had figured out, all right, 55 miles an hour is about this much many kilometers. 65 miles an hour is about this many. Like, basically we knew like every 10 numbers, and then use that as kind of a gauge.
It's a little bit weird to have half your country use one measurement for miles and the other one for, that's weird.
Well, Scott, they're two countries though.
I know they are, but you're all Irish. Come together.
Half of your island use one and half of your island use the other. Yes.
Yeah. That's just weird, man. I don't know. Did the Brits F it up? Is that what happened? They came in there and said, yo, you're using miles up here. Sorry. It's just the way it is. Anyway, it's just a weird, weird thing. Whatever. Yeah. Europe, you do you. We'll do us. Okay. I watched The Northman. Brian recommended it.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it. It was great.
Sarsgaard.
Yeah, some Sarsgaard.
Sarsgaard.
It's one of the two. Guards.
Yeah. Either guards SARS or SCARS.
For a hot second, I thought his dad, Stellan, was the shaman guy later on when he was an adult.
No, that was, what's his face? I'm blanking on his name. Willem Dafoe.
No. Later in the
movie. Oh, the other shaman.
Yeah, okay. The other shaman guy. I was sure that was his dad. Like, positive. He had Willem Dafoe's head, or was it the king's head? I don't remember. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But he was, I was sure of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at him. Head. This is so cool. Must be cool working with your dad. And Kim's like, yeah, that is cool. And then later I looked it up on IMDb. No, it's not cool at all. It's not him. It's some other guy.
It must be cool working with that guy. He kind of looks a little bit like your dad.
Yeah. One of those things. I really liked The Northman. Turns out it ticks a lot of my boxes. I already like that director. The Witch and The Lighthouse are both rad. Yeah. And his style is cool. It's pretty dark and, you know, grimy if you're into that sort of thing.
And there's a lot of not really looking I mean, there's some looking directly at the camera, which is, you kind of saw a lot of that in Lighthouse, where you become some of the characters that are getting talked to in the film. But there is a very stage play kind of feel to parts of that, where it's, you know, the background is muted or black, and you're just basically looking at the actor.
That's a really, you know what? You finally put it to words. I couldn't put my finger on it, but it has a stage play quality to it.
It didn't
go in expecting that, and I ended up really liking the way it was handled, and I thought everybody was really good in it. It got me more excited for the Furiosa prequel, because she's freaking great. What's her name? Double-Eyed Junior. What's her name?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya Taylor-Joy. She's freaking awesome, and I thought she killed her role. She was really good in it. I just really freaking dug it, and would recommend it highly for anyone looking for, you know, don't go in thinking Braveheart.
Okay? No, definitely not.
It has some similarities, but not the way you might think. Like, it's got a lot of really sort of bloody fight scenes. Actually, less blood than I expected. I thought it was a lot of off-screen type stuff, which surprised me. But if you're going looking for just like some raw Viking-ass stuff where they clearly paid a lot of attention to the time and the era and the language and the customs and all that stuff, that was pretty evident. And have it be just beautifully shot. Even though it's super dark.
Oh, God, it's so gorgeous. Yeah.
It's really good. Really good. I liked it a lot. So another recommendal from someone else, Down.
Cool. Done. Excellent. Look at you watching our recommendals. Yeah, I think that was a me.
It was a you.
I think what was a me.
It was totally you. So how was the Denver local meetup cider drinking unit deal?
It was great. Yeah. So we did the Locust Cider at Belmar meetup. Jacob, who is the... runs the show there, took really good care of us. We got to meet him and his dog, Walter, who is the boy. What a good dog Walter is.
Good boy.
That's in case Walter is listening. What a good dog. So they have this little loft area in the kind of off to one side that they kind of use for storage. And they've turned it into Walter, the dog who comes with Jacob to work. Up at the top of this iron circular staircase, is his little area. And he just stays up there, but he's not chained up there. He's not leashed or anything like that or blocked from coming down. So as soon as Jacob said, "Hey, Walter, come on down," Walter sprung up to his feet, looked down, spun over, ran quickly over to Jacob. It was super, super cute.
Yeah, what kind of dog? What breed are we talking here?
A mix. Rescue dog that was a mix. There's like, you know, he was saying, I think there's some golden retriever in there. There's maybe some sort of... He was like listing off a bunch of could be. Yeah.
They never verify that stuff, so you just have to guess. It's best you can.
Yeah. Wes, brand new member of the Denver scene, moved here from, I should remember. Oh, from New York, I think, Western New York. He and his wife Mallory came, and their two kids joined us, and his older kid, who's like 5 and a half, Jordan, was a crack up, this kid. So this Locust Cider has board games over in the side, then it's got... TVs all over the place with those little mini Super Nintendos that you can just, you know, start playing games while you're drinking cider. And that's so great. We were trying to find a game that was good for a 5 and a half year old. And it was like, all right, how about the Kirby? Oh, not so much. How about the Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart from the SNES? Maybe, but not so much.
Yeah.
So he was more having fun just hanging out with us. And he was like, choo, 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 shooting, like pretending to shoot us with his fingers. And then at one point he comes over and he like does pincher scissor fingers at me and like gets my arm and my wrist. I'm like, I'm being scissored. Wait, nope. That's not the way I want to phrase that.
Nope. This is not today is not that lesson. We're not teaching that today. Nope.
I knew it as soon as I said it. Nope. But
that's good. I love
Clark
kids like
and
that.
Nikki came and Tristan Adams came. It was we had a great turnout.
That's awesome. And the,
took
how
over
was
a
the
whole corner of that place?
How was the beer, the cider, or the whatever?
Oh my God, the cider was amazing. So he had, you know, your traditional apple. He had like a mojito, which was minty. I actually brought back a big bottle of that. Some juicy peach cider, which was really good. There he is, Burgess Diesel, right there in the in the chat is Wes.
That's Wes. Oh, very nice. Very nice.
There was a dark cherry cider. I mean, he had about 16 different kinds, and I did a flight so that I could try a bunch of them all at once that I wanted to, which is just smaller, like 4 or 5 ounce pours, but you get 6 of them.
Gotcha.
And
it's like a little sampler.
One that was like a dill cider, which was interesting.
Yeah, that's a
wasn't
little
my
weird,
favorite.
Though. It's like it tastes like a pickle.
No, that was what I was expecting, and it didn't at all. It tasted like apple cider that had been muddled,
oh,
you know, using muddler with dill, and it was good. it was a really unique taste, but
wait, tell me more about this muddling. Is that a thing? I never heard of that muddling.
Yeah, like when you, so if you get a drink, and even a non-alcoholic drink, let's say you get a mint lemonade,
okay,
and they take a leaf and they put it in the glass first,
yeah,
and then they use this thing that has, it looks like mortar and pestle, but it's like get little spikes, knobs at the bottom, yeah, and you go, and you do that to the leaf to like...
By the way, someone capture that video for me. Send me that clip. Yeah, there was a good visual, yeah, with that. So, okay, that's interesting. I've had, yeah, something like that, I think, and I think I've even seen them use the tool, but I didn't know what the hell, yeah, they were doing.
Yeah.
So, you that's
spank,
good.
Claire, I think you spank basil. I don't think you spank mint.
Spank basil?
Yeah, so you get a basil leaf. Yeah. Before you put it in your food.
What do you spank
you
it go, with?
You put it in your palm,
oh,
and you go like that.
So you literally spank it. To what?
Literally spank.
But to what end? What does it actually do to it?
That also releases the flavors and the stuff. Yeah.
All right.
But like in a mojito, I think you do muddle the mint. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, Stigma 82 confirms. Yep, you spank your... There it is right there. Oh, quick tip, spank on the mint. So Claire found a... Well, sure, you can find anything if you look hard enough, Claire.
Yeah, if you type it into Google and hit return, you'll always find something.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, all right. That sounds like a blast. Sounds like a good time.
So it was a really good time, yeah. So we're looking forward. We're probably going to do like an escape room next because we've been talking about wanting to do one of those. So
nice. Escape rooms. Are there any left in Denver that you've not done?
I would say there are 30 or 40 escape rooms in Denver, and I've only been to three ever, oh, or four, geez, ever here in town. So yeah, there are many, many left.
Still a lot. Four is a lot.
Is four a lot? It's over a lot. The course of,
I feel,
six
like
years,
of all the people
years?
I know, I'll bet you're the only person I know that's been to four in their hometown plus multiples from other places they go.
I would disagree. I'll bet you Tanner has been to way more escape rooms than I have.
That's true. He's a freak about that stuff. You're right. I really enjoyed, yeah, my first one. That was fun in there. I
liked, yeah, that. They're a blast. Yeah, that one we did in Vegas was great.
Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah, I've only done one in Vegas. Tanner has done three or four in Vegas, so.
Yeah, they got a bunch there in they the do. In the Las Vegas. There's one here that just opened that's supposed to be amazing, and I need to go see it, but it's brand new, really fancy outside of this thing. Like I can tell there's money in there, or money was spent to make it cool. So
yeah, see, that's the one you want. You want the really immersive feeling. I was telling about one that I went to, that it took place on a pirate ship, and they had lights hanging from the ceiling and then little mechanical motors on the lights that made the lights swing slowly back and forth, so that it gave you the impression you were on a ship that was rocking back and forth, even though you were standing on solid ground, but it was...
I like that. That attention to detail is cool. I like that.
It is really, really cool. Yeah.
Well, tell me about your 3D printing nightmare.
Kind of a nightmare because it was an expensive nightmare. I've been doing these on Etsy, been doing these holders, kyber crystal holders. You got your little kyber crystal from the Star Wars lands in, mm-hmm, Disneyland, and you put them in here, and there's like a little hole in the middle is that there's an LED light that I put in there before I ship it, right? And right. So it's what's cool about it is it lights up through the bottom. There are little holes,
yeah,
lights up through the bottom, and there's even like a motion sensor on the middle one, so if you mess around with the middle kyber crystal, that's when things light up. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Love it.
So I've been selling a few of these on Etsy, and I had one, had somebody call back or email and say, hey, receive mine. And like the package, maybe you put the kyber crystal holder in there without letting the paint dry because it's really messy in there. And like there's this gray goo that I think must have come off from the paint or whatever. And I was like, God, that's really, really weird. So I started printing another one, and then it kind of hit me as like, oh no, okay. So if you look at this, and I'll describe this for the listening audience.
Okay.
So it's an oblong rectangle with a hole in the middle, a hole that goes, that's extruded all the way through, which a light can go through.
Yeah.
Below that hole is a little extra stability, a little thick part on the bottom that's got a little extra stability to support this thing, and also so you can mount it on the wall and that sort of thing. And there are, that is a hollow shape.
Yeah.
And that means that there's uncured resin. Yeah, MacGaddict89 knows exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a little amount of uncured resin inside that bottom area. And what happens, I'm guessing, is that in extreme heat or air pressure, if this thing gets shipped in the, you know, via USPS through the friendly skies, it can crack. And that goo, that resin, uncured resin, runs out. And you can see right here on the top, that's exactly what happened to this one. There's a little tiny hairline crack, and there's goo that came out. It ruined the piece, obviously, because it, you know,
sure,
took the paint off.
Yeah.
It also ruined the light, so I had to buy a new LED light to put in the middle of that. And then I had to just pay for shipping, reship the whole thing, reprint it, reship it. So lost money on that one for sure.
Yeah.
But it made me realize, oh, yeah, I need to print this with two additional drain holes for that hollow area, so that A, the alcohol can rinse through and take out uncured resin, and B, so that there's not this enclosed space that air pressure and heat might have some sort of effect on.
Yeah, because later that thing in your toast.
Exactly. Yep.
So
just like it is with this one that I'm holding up right here. There, you can see there's runny resin.
Oh, yeah, runny goo.
You can see some reflection of that resin on the side. Yeah.
Yeah, runny goo, baby. So runny so goo. Runny goo. Does it is that stuff toxic or anything? Like
you don't want to. Yeah, you don't. You certainly don't want to ingest any of it. If you get it on your hands, it just is like greasy. It never dries either. Mm. Like the only time it solidifies is when it's exposed to UV light. So, if you take it in the sun, it'll finally harden and stuff. Mm. But it'll stay viscous. Well, you get to use the word viscous. Yeah. It'll stay viscous until you expose it to UV light.
Used to love the word.
You definitely want to wear gloves when you're handling
it. I like the word viscosity. You know.
Viscosity.
Yeah, to measure the amount of viscousness. Viscosity. Yes. All right, well, you learn.
Of kyber crystals, this is the perfect thing for you.
Yeah, go you should get it. You got a whole bunch of those.
Kyber crystal holder.
Yeah, go get you. Get your own today. Arr. All right. Well, that's interesting. And real quick here, what was I going to say about it? I was going to say, did the original, I know you grabbed a model and then sort of modified it.
Yes.
Is there a way for you to I don't know how this works with all this open source Thingiverse stuff, but could you ping that guy back and go, hey, real quick, your design probably needs a couple little holes at the bottom. To drain, because I'm having
to somebody who's already bought my
no to whoever created the original model to the thing
created the original model. This is my original design.
I thought you took it and tweaked it.
No, this is all me, baby.
Oh, never mind then. The guy already knows. Yeah. The guy I'm talking about.
Yeah, the guy knows.
Yeah, the guy is aware. And you don't have to tell the people you've already shipped them to who didn't have a problem.
If they have not had the problem, then obviously they, then they're good. Then they're set. Unless all of a sudden they decide, I'm going to take mine to California. But at that point, guess what? They'll think it's their own problem.
That's a good point. All right. On that note.
No, that would be horrible.
That would be horrible. We don't want to stick them with their own problems. But we do want to add a guy to the call here named Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi. Are you at work? That's where you are.
Of course.
Yeah. He's a little delayed today.
I'm on my break.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Scott?
We're I'm at home in the studio. Yeah. To make podcasts and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Weird. I know.
So you're not at the park?
I'm not at the park. I'm definitely not at the park. I can tell you that we're going to play a game and that we're going to try to win prizes for people. I know this because Brian told me so, and he'll have to explain why. Brian, why is that?
Yes, I will explain this game. This game is it's called Half Asses. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to go back and forth giving me answers that fit that topic. No, that is Feud. Why does this have? That's why this is all screwed up, because it's got the Feud instructions. Hold on.
No.
There. Welcome to Morning Half Asses. present company included. Trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, three are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. If you guess one and get it right, you get a point. Guess two gets you 3 points, and guess all three correctly, you'll get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and contestants have been pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live.
Nice.
Scott, you're going to be playing for Don Kelly in Dartmouth, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Don Kelly. Brian, you're going to be playing for Molly in Chicago. We know Molly.
Fenton?
She goes
I'm familiar with Molly.
That Molly Fenton? Yeah. Molly Fenton, right? No?
Molly, not Molly Fenton. I don't want to say her last name. But she, yeah, I'm trying to remember. She's been to a couple Nerdtaculars. I think she's, I know she's, yeah, she was at the most recent Sweetgrass. Thank you, MKO Sweetgrass. She was at the most recent Vegas meeting.
Oh, very nice. So was Molly Fenton.
She was roommates with
Molly.
Kathy.
Oh. All right, now Kathy I can who? Separate the two. Now I get it. I get it now. We're good.
Yes, exactly.
Kathy, she's right, the one that lost at Miss Pac-Man, by the way. Rocked her world. Anyway, go ahead.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Smack talk.
Yes. All right. So Smack you guys talk. Are both in our game. I've got three questions here. I feel like we should start out with an easy one for you guys. Oh, by the way, prizes. Let's tell you really quickly. Winner is going to get a copy of F1 2020. Yes, that's right. It's getting re-gifted or re-given away because it's carryover. Winner did not win it on Wednesday, as well as Main Assembly. We're adding Rock of Ages 3 Make and Break to the runner-up prize package.
Okay. Rock of Age. Oh, not the song.
Rock of Ages. No, not the. Rock
keep it okay. rolling.
Wounden Gleeton, Glauben Globen. Nope, that's not it. All right, let's get to the game. Let's start off with an easy one. You guys like the comic books.
Yeah.
Let's see how well
I read a comic book or two.
I've read a few in my lifetime. Read two last night, in fact. I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
All right. Oh, original members of the Avengers from Avengers number one in Marvel comic books. Your choices are The Wasp, Hawkeye, Captain America, Scarlet Witch, Ant-Man, and the Hulk.
That was going to be really easy, but now I'm like going... Was that the original?
I think I know
this.
Can
I just pick the West Coast Avengers? No. All right.
I think I know what it is.
I think I know as well, but not 100% sure on that last
one. I'm two-thirds sure, so I'm going to go do two. That's the best I can do.
I feel like I'm two-thirds sure, but I'm not sure.
Giving away your strategy there, Scott. Okay, you both locked in with two, even though Scott gave you a full chance to go for three there, Brian.
Right. Well, I was in the same boat as Scott. I was like, hey, am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, it's tricky.
Right.
Yeah,
all right, so let's see. You both said Wasp. Yeah, Janet Van Dyne was indeed a member of the Avengers in issue number one. Somebody made a
that
gif.
Was a
thank
positive.
You. I see you. Great. I see you made a gif of my muddling demonstration.
Oh, good.
Fortunately, it doesn't look as much like I'm masturbating as I was worried. So that's good. All right.
As you were hoping. No. Oh, as you were worried. As, okay. Yeah, I got it.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Ant-Man. You said Ant-Man, Scott.
Yeah.
Brian, you said the Hulk. Members of the original Avengers. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Mm-hmm. You're both right.
Oh.
You guys both
all right.
get.
Look at us. We guessed them.
You both get. Three
I just
points.
Wasn't sure.
Okay.
About the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
For some reason, that didn't feel
America,
right.
Captain America was un-iced in issue 4, and Scarlet Witch came in much later with Quicksilver as villains. As did Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye was a villain in like 17 or something.
Oh.
So congratulations. Well done. Oh, I bet I.
Oh, look at us. Look at us.
Yeah,
doing
Scarlet
the thing.
Witch issue 16. Hawkeye issue 16. Hawkeye, not Hawkeye.
I didn't know he was a villain. Okay. Was he always a villain to start with, or just that? Just in the Avengers?
Just
context?
That first appearance.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's in tight with that other lady. What's the bad guy? The Russian.
Oh.
Maximoff.
Russian Maximoff.
You're talking about Wanda?
Yeah
Wanda.
Yeah, I'm trying to go around. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, let's get to question number two, shall we? You guys did all right.
Oh,
with that
we
one.
Should.
Question number two, original product names. So I'm going to tell you a product and its original name. Three of these are real. Three of these are fake. Roundtree's Chocolate Crisp, which was originally Kit Kat. Brad's Drink was originally Pepsi, or was the original name for Pepsi. Backrub, the original name for Google. Cheerios for Cheerios. Baby Gaze for Q-tips. Duh. And Mr. Super, the original name of the Game Boy.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. These all sound wrong.
they all do.
Now
we're going to separate the men from the boys.
Yeah. The wheat from
I'm putting two big old fat guesses right in there. Logical.
Yeah. Logical. All right. You guys both have locked in with two again. Scott, you locked in with Backrub being the original name for Google, as did Brian, and you're both correct. Backrub was the original name for Google.
I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
However, Cheerios was not the original name of Cheerios, but Baby Gaze indeed was the original name for Q-tips.
Yeah.
Pepsi began its life as Brad's Drink.
I would have never guessed that.
You'd be in restaurants now saying, is Brad's Drink okay? Yeah. That's terrible.
What a Brad.
Can I get a diet Brad's Drink?
You got Coke? No.
Brad's Drink Zero. Brad's. Yeah, I want Brad's Drink.
Brad Zero.
Yep.
Brad Zero. All right.
Cherry Brad's Drink. that's good.
Let's get to Crystal Brad's Drink. Let's get to question number three here for the for finally all the marbles. Brian is going into this last question with the lead, 6 points. Scott's got three. But listen, you play your cards right, it's anybody's game.
We're playing cards?
Characters in Hamlet who survive the play. So who makes it through Hamlet? Spoiler alert, Hamlet doesn't.
Yeah.
And he's not on the list. Your choices are Laertes, Gertrude, Prince Fortinbras, Horatio, Bernardo, and Rosencrantz.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, these are. I'm trying to remember my Hamlet here. I'm trying to.
I remember nothing from my Hamlet. Nada. This is not going to go well for me.
Right. I know. I feel pretty positive. It's
basically
about
the Northman. You know, really, when you think about it, Hamlet is the Northman.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, it is. That is the Hamlet. That movie. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought of that.
I'm not 100%. There, I locked in.
I'm locked in too. I don't know.
Locked in. Scott is locked in.
I know Rosencrantz is dead, so I know that.
That's right. So. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. There was even a movie released, a comedy based on that. Yep. You guys both locked in Horatio.
Horatio, I'm pretty sure. No? Horatio did survive.
Horatio was the grave digger, I think, that Hamlet speaks to when he holds up Yorick's skull. And yes, Horatio did survive the play. However. Neither Gertrude, Hamlet's mom, nor Rosencrantz survived the play. Therefore, no points on that round. Brian Dunaway is walking away with the win.
Damn, son.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
I forgot Gertrude was his mom's name.
Yeah.
Should have known that.
Yeah, Horatio is Hamlet's best friend. I thought he was the guy who was digging the grave outside of the castle.
I have no memory of this. I do know that my brain went backwards on this. Nope. I thought they were people that died in the play. And so I chose Rosencrantz.
Oh, you went backwards.
Yeah, I went backwards because I'm dumb.
Who did not survive the play.
No.
Friend, okay.
Yeah, nor did I survive the contest today.
Gotcha.
All right.
Molly wins and gets F1 2020 and main assembly. However, Don Kelly, you're not going away empty-handed. You're not even going away because you didn't show up. But you're going to get Rock of Ages 3, Make and Break.
Nice. These are all good games, so no one lost today.
Yes.
There are no losers. There are no losers today.
Which is part of what I like about this particular game is everybody kind of wins. Yes. Except Brian and I, one of us loses, and that's, you know, fine. Hey, Dunaway, speaking of losing.
Do we, though?
Well, you know, whatever. You being here, it's a win for me. Look,
it's a win for me as well.
Tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time, we'll be doing Play Retro, and we've decided to tackle what we think are the top best Commodore 64 games of its era.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before you get excited, people, that means top best for me and Scott.
Yeah,
we're not. It don't mean your top best.
Yeah.
doesn't mean the top in the you know
wait,
the
you
charts.
Won't,
nothing
you
like
won't
that.
Take my top best.
We'd take it if you want.
No,
if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you want to join the show, come on.
Yeah, we'll send us in there. Get us your top, your favorite. If Hard Hat Mac is always the best, so whoever says that is a winner with me. I'd
say International Karate. That's the best. Maybe Impossible Mission.
Maybe Summer Games. Mm. Summer Games is great.
Yeah. Summer Games, Winter Games, also good. I prefer California Games, though.
Spoiler. How about the Turrican business everyone loves so much? Maybe Turrican.
Turrican.
Yeah.
People love the Turrican. They're always telling me about the Turrican.
Yep. I love a good Turrican leg when I go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I get a Turrican leg. Anyway, there's
plus
more.
It has
about
that intro, which is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Turrican. It's pretty cool. I've never heard it before.
We'll play that. Cool. I guarantee we'll be playing that and a bunch more tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time if you want to watch it live. And if you don't, you can always get the podcast after. That's Play Retro, wherever you get your shows. Brian Dunaway, thanks for hanging out with us, and kiss our butts.
I know you.
All right. Off he goes. That's the end of that guy. All right. Well, as you can see, we've got some time for the late breaking news, so let's do it. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Cheese When I Said No Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
You
so I got
something? No cheese, and they gave you cheese.
Yeah, I got a Five Guys. It was almost my complaint today, but whatever. People make mistakes. But I swear, every time I tell them no cheese, they still give me cheese every time I go there.
Because why wouldn't you want cheese on a burger? That would be my
gross
answer. It's like,
cheese makes
he
it
may
all
think he doesn't want cheese, but he definitely wants
he
cheese.
He probably did do that, but I'm telling you, it just makes it all like glue. It's like Elmer's glue in there.
Yeah. But it adheres all that stuff together.
Foul. Don't like burger cheese.
Yeah.
The only cheeseburger I think I like is when the cheese is still sort of a solid hunk of cheese, you know, like a piece of sliced cheese and not all melted into everything. I hate that. I know I'm weird. It's just me. All right. Hey,
You ever lose your dog?
Well, this guy did, and they finally found him 500 feet below the earth.
I made my dog swallow an Apple AirTag, so I will never lose my dog.
That's a good, I'm sure it'll never pass out the other end. You'll be fine. this dog was found 500 freaking feet.
Wow.
Underground in an intricate cave system. When teacher and recreational caver Rick Haley set out to help map a cave on August 6th, he had no idea it would end up staging a rescue mission, let alone reuniting a lost dog with her owner. Haley, along with a team of 30 spelunkers.
Spelunkers.
I hate that term. I really do. I don't know why. It just doesn't sound good. Spelunkers. they were mapping a cave north of Perryville, Missouri, as part of a project for Cave Research Foundation. The cave is part of a Burcombe Moore cave system. It's their second largest cave system in Missouri, measuring around 22 miles. Haley, age 66, who was involved in logistics and managing problems on the expedition, exited the cave to find another caver and an assistant fire chief from the local fire department. Glad you're here, the fire chief told Haley. Can you help us do a dog cave rescue? That's kind of where it started. Anyway, they found the dog. He was in poor shape. Didn't seem to have any big injuries, but really malnourished. Probably real thirsty, skin and bones.
Oh, poor thing.
But they got her.
He's just doing what he saw his master doing, right? Yeah, he's like, master goes into caves. I'm going to go into caves.
Well, this is for, who's the lady? No, this is for, what is this? Haley of the Tim Fences. Glad you're here. Wait a minute. Who owned the dog? Now I'm confused.
I thought it was, it wasn't Haley. Haley was the recreational caver.
That's it's a her that has the dog, and I don't know who she is. Does it say?
It doesn't say.
I thought I read it. Well, it's not his dog.
Reuniting a dog with her owner.
They don't get into it.
Huh. All right, well, never mind.
But anyway, they wrapped the poor thing in a little blanket, put him in a duffel bag with his head out, you know. Her, he or her, I don't know.
Her head out.
Yeah,
it's her owner. Yeah, her owner. So the dog's a female. Yeah.
That's how it works. Yeah. If you're a lady, your dog is always a female, always. You know why I only have girl dogs? Have I told you this? Why?
I read it on Twitter.
Yeah, because boy dogs wipe their wieners on everything. They constantly are. If they sit on a blanket, guess what? Wiener out.
Never had a female dog in heat, Scott. I feel like they do. They rub their hoo-haws on everything.
Oh yeah, back in the day when I was young, I had dogs in heat. But ever since, I don't know. Well, as an adult, the dogs have always been neutered or spayed. Which is it for girls? Spayed.
Spayed for girls. Neutered.
Neutered for
because you get nudicles. You can get nudicles for dogs dogs.
Nice. Well, anyway, the point is, it's worked out pretty well for me. And then if you're rubbing up the belly of a dog, if it's a female dog, the vajay is nowhere near the general rubby zone. But if it's a boy dog, they got the any minute that pink lipstick holder is going to pop out. You don't want that, do you? Do you want that? I don't want to rub a dog's wiener. Is what I'm saying.
No. It's a tough way to find out that you're gay. When you find yourself rubbing the dog's belly and the wiener comes out like, oh, crap, I must be gay.
Yeah, that must be it. Red rocket. All right. A gang of female shoplifters stole thousands of dollars worth of men's Nike boxer shorts from Kohl's stores, according to investigators.
It's like the plot of Ocean's 8 is what we're looking at here.
This is Ocean's, whatever the next one's going to be. What number are we?
Ocean's 8.5.
Yeah. I kind of like that movie. It was all right.
It was all right.
It was okay. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
You liked it because it had Sandra Bullock. Admit it. That's why
I like
you
her a lot. But I also like all those ladies. And I think it could have been better, but they kind of just went by the numbers. Mm-hmm. I think they could have, whatever. I'm
trying to remember. Was Awkwafina in that? I think Awkwafina was in that, wasn't she?
She's like a computer hacker person or something.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
I think that was right. And then you had
Rihanna.
Was Rihanna in that?
Yeah, Rihanna was that. She was 8-ball.
What am I thinking?
Or 9-ball.
Oh, I'm thinking of her in Battleship. For some reason, I don't know why I was thinking of that. She was terrible in Battleship.
Well, she was in that too.
Yeah. She was really bad in it. She was good in Ocean's 8. Anyway.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Surveillance footage shows three women. I don't know if that constitutes as a gang, by the way.
No, that's not a gang.
I think gang is like five or more.
It's a coffee clatch is what that is.
A coffee clatch of women accused of stealing.
Coffee clatch of shoplifters.
That's right. Surveillance shows these women crouched over a display case in the men's department of a Kohl's store in Newman, New Georgia. The footage shows the women leaving the store carrying merchandise in large bags without paying for items. The Kohl's store said the women were after Nike men's boxer shorts, which, according to Kohl's website, cost between $24 and $40 for a pack of three.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, they're getting the expensive stuff, the Nike. If you go for the Under Armour, you can get it for like $18 for a three pack.
I like the Under Armour. I'm a fan.
I do too. That's
still the only hats that fit me. Kohl's did not.
What? Under Armour underwear is the only hat that'll fit you?
No, they make a hat. I love those things. They're great for my giant head.
Yeah.
And my giant crotch. Kohl's did not immediately respond to insiders' request for comment. It says here, are these really popular or something? Is that the deal? Like,
no, I can visualize the area where like all of these are there because I have a Kohl's a block north of me or a block south of me, and that's where I go to get my clothing items that don't care about them being fashionable.
Yeah, but what I mean is like if it are Nike branded men's boxers like some kind of awesome secondary
market thing? Probably better for sports and wicking and stuff like that. I don't know about them being, you know, super popular, but they're probably. They're probably specialized, so they're more expensive.
Well, that makes sense. I'm just trying to figure out where they would want them. Are they reselling them? Sure. Like, I don't know. $6,000 worth of stuff stole from 1, 2, 3 different stores, all the same women. And that's all they're stealing is this underwear.
They must have figured out that it's like the lowest viewed, the risk versus reward area of the Kohl's, right? Like there's never a security camera on the men's underwear section.
Yeah.
And these maybe are probably the most expensive men's underwear. My guess is that they are turning around and taking them back to other Kohl's stores or something.
Oh, for refunds.
To get refunds, yeah.
Kohl's does have a pretty lenient refunds policy. They do, yeah. So, yeah. This is the thing that happens to stores that do that. In fact, that was one of the reasons some listener wrote in and said that the reason that Target throws away bikes that haven't sold and not give them to charity or something is because that happens there too. They get turned around with like either a fake charity or somebody buys them really cheap at the charity or what, some other thing. And then they go back to Target, return them and get cash or something like that.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, cause, and those bikes will get refunds for a nice little profit. So
sure. Even a Huffy bringing you
yeah.
a couple of shiny dollars. Speaking of
Huffy money,
some Huffy money, speaking of something that's much more than Huffy money, Ferrari, they make the fast cars, you know. Anyway, they're recalling nearly every car they've ever sold since 2005. So, Brian, you're three Ferraris.
Wow. Oh, no.
I know. What are you going to do with that garage?
My dad's going to be so pissed for that Ferrari that he keeps, that he wipes with a baby diaper in the garage.
A baby diaper. Wait. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like the cloth diaper. Yeah. Those, yeah.
That's what Cameron's dad did with the Ferrari that Ferris Bueller destroyed.
Yeah. It was the ShamWow of the 80s. We just used baby cloth diapers. Yeah, they actually are awesome. If you can get your hands on baby cloth diapers for like cleaning things, they're freaking great.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Like legitimately good at like cleaning your glasses. What else? Like things that are really pesky about like oil and dirt, screens and that kind of thing. It's awesome. For real. If you can get your hands on one, use it for everything. It's great.
Yeah. ICU tries to correct me and say, Cameron destroyed the Ferrari. No, I seem to remember Ferris saying, I'll take the heat on this. You don't need this much heat.
Yeah.
I'll take the heat.
Yeah. His friend took all the responsibility. He's fine now.
Yeah.
All the heat.
They didn't go through with it. Cameron took the heat.
No, he took the heat. Was,
yeah. And that was the last we ever saw of Cameron.
Did we? Not until us. Ascension. No. What's the show he's on now that everyone likes?
Spin City he was on.
No.
Succession. Current show. Yeah. Yes.
It's like not until Succession did Cameron finally. Oh my gosh. I'm playing this Lego game yesterday. I'm trying to do a review of games that work best on the Steam Deck. And one of them people recommended to me was this Lego game. It's kind of like a GTA game. It's called Lego something city. Forgot now. Yeah. You play a cop and it's like a lot of missions that remind you of, you know, playing GTA or something. Anyway, it's really good so far. A really fun little game. But I'm in this prison trying to find some, I don't remember what. And I'm talking to a Lego guy who I see from the back and I walk up and it does a cutscene. He goes, are you blue? The guy turns around and goes, yeah, I'm a man who can get things for you if you need things. And he's doing a total Morgan Freeman voice.
Yeah, but he's blue. I love that.
Yeah, and the entire time he's doing this obvious parody of something only adults would see, which is hilarious because this is a Lego game for kids. And he goes, at the end, somebody walks up and he goes, hey, Blue, do you think that if I give information to the cops, I might become, or that might make you a free man? And he goes, shh. Don't say Freeman. They'll sue me for if you say Freeman. Like it was the dumbest, like greatest thing. And I loved it. It was amazing. Anyway,
the chat room. Okay. I'm admit it. Yes, Cameron did destroy the Ferrari. Okay, you guys.
Oh my gosh, are they still going off?
I was just doubling down on my joke on my error. Jeez, settle down.
He was in that tornado movie.
Oh yeah.
What is it called?
The
people in it. They had the Pepsi.
Now I'm thinking
cans.
About is him in Speed on the bus.
They had the Brad's drink.
He's the tourist.
They had the Brad's drink cans.
Twister.
They,
Twister there thank it is. You. Yes.
Yeah. Remember when they put Brad's drink cans in the sky? Do you remember that?
They made a whole look at all the Twisters. The chat room has forgotten about Cameron now and has moved on to Twister.
Yeah. This is how they work. This is what they do. This is their whole reason for being here.
Exactly.
I think they're all clinically, they all would be clinically diagnosed, everybody in our chat. I don't know what they'd be diagnosed with. I'm not saying, not making any judgments. There's something. There's something there. Anyway, if you own a Ferrari that was sold since 2005, they're recalling them all. All of them.
Oh, yeah. We never did talk about why they're recalling them.
No. Okay. So here's the deal. Brake failures. They got a problem. Oh. Yeah. 19 of its models dating all the way back to 2005. Reportedly at risk for potential brake failure, according to the National Highway Safety Transformation, which is NHTSA. According to their filing, the issue related to the brake fluid reservoir cap.
No, not the reservoir gap.
Yeah, the reservoir gap is a very different thing. Your condoms, thank you for your information. All right. May not vent properly and created a vacuum inside the brake fluid reservoir. The resulting problem was brake fluid leak that would lead to a partial or total loss of brake function.
Yeah.
For a fast car, that's bad. Recall that shit.
Glad they're finding this out 17 years later about the 2005 models.
Yeah.
Criminy.
Yeah. The year Batman Begins came out. I always think of that for some reason. Oh, five. I can tell you the biggest three movies that year, for me anyway.
Okay. Batman
Begins came out. Serenity, the Firefly movie.
Sure.
And then the third prequel, which was okay. The Revenge of the Sith business was that year as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it wasn't V for Vendetta?
Like V for Vendetta. It just wasn't high on my radar at the time.
Constantine?
Constantine's okay.
Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was that year.
Yeah, I like that movie. My kids still think it's the greatest thing ever made. They love it. They love that
movie. Let's see. I'm just looking at the rest of these. Yeah, you know, you're not wrong as far as like...
Yeah, 05 didn't have like a gigantic roster, but it had no...
It really doesn't. Yeah, Batman Begins definitely at the top for me. Serenity. No competition from the Fantastic Four.
Uh-uh.
The Jessica Alba.
No, that was garbage.
Michael Chiklis one.
That was poopy. Poopy Pants McGee. That
it
movie.
Was very Poopy Pants. Zathura was that year, which we discovered to be kind of good.
I liked Zathura. I liked it more the second time, actually. I really enjoyed watching it for Film Sack.
Sin good. City.
Yeah.
History of Violence.
Yeah,
was
it was good.
Good.
It was really good.
Yeah. Narnia, the first Narnia film.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, is that correct?
Yeah, Goblet of Fire would have been that year. Let's see.
And then a bunch of shit.
One of them, I remember there was a...
The House of Wax with Paris Hilton. Why have we watched that? We have not watched that yet for Film
No,
Sack
but
yet,
we've talked we? About it. We should.
Sacktober, baby.
Yeah, that's a rotten one, I've heard. So Dennis Quaid was in a movie... There was a remake of a 60s thing where they crash a plane in the desert somewhere in Africa and then have to do a thing. I remember that was 05, but I don't remember the name of the movie. I just remember it was a thing.
I can't even think of that. Duke is saying Sahara.
Sahara, that was it. That was it.
There you go.
It's bad. It was a bad remake.
Yeah.
Flight of the Phoenix? No. Flight of the Phoenix. What the hell's that?
Flight of the Phoenix. I do like Tony Curry, the best title ever. Harry Potter and the Problematic Author.
Yep. And that's definitely kind of where we're at. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be joining us as he always does on Mondays.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk to him because I have stuff to say about the latest 8 Billion Genies issue, which was very good. And a few other things. So stick around for that. In the meantime, a song from Brian, please.
Yeah, how about a new electro pop song? You know, I dig the electro pop. This is an electro pop singer or band. Let's see here, called Alexandra John. It's made up of Liza and Weston Kane. They're a duo. They're actually fraternal twins from San Francisco. And they, you know, much like the Billie Eilish and I'm forgetting his name, sadly, all of a sudden, and I shouldn't because he's super talented. And Phineas.
And Ferb.
Anyway, much like them, working together to produce some amazing music. This is the first single from their upcoming EP, which is called Healing. The song is called Strung Out.
Waking up in a daze, rolling over. How in the world did I wash up here? I'm done being afraid. Want us to come and play. The way you give seems to disappear. these endless nights.
Have you tried the new brand? It's Lay's Wavy Funyuns Onion Flavored Funyuns Onion Flavored Rings.
Over there at that pig, man, I found a couple of shelves on the arrowhead.
The Morning Stream. It's called pain. Get used to it.
And we're back. Tell me again who that was.
Sure. That's a pop duo, Alexandra John. That's their brand new single, Strung Out, coming from their upcoming EP called Healing. Big thanks to Black Panda PR for sending me that one.
Black Panda PR.
Black Panda PR. By the way, a lot of corrections. People are saying it was Flight of the Phoenix, not Sahara.
I'm mixing it up with Order of the Phoenix. You're right. Flight of the Phoenix, because the old movie was Flight of the Phoenix also, and this was a remake of that, and it was not great, is my memory.
I see.
Do you think Jack Quaid stays in touch with his uncle, Randy Quaid? Do you think that happens?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Probably, right?
Maybe like, a little bit. You know, he seems like a really nice guy.
Maybe Christmas cards.
Yeah, he seems like the most normal of the Quaids, this kid. He's great.
Jack, yeah, for sure. I doubt he's like going to, you know, hang out, going to visit grandpa and stay with him for a few days.
Yeah, probably not.
probably not.
Yeah. Well, good luck with Uncle Randy. All right, here comes this.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Stephen Schleicher joins us. What a catch. What a get. Stephen, hello.
Oh, hello, Scott. Hello,
hi.
Oh, hello.
Hey, man. It's just good to have you here. I wanted to really quick mention that I got the latest fourth issue of 8 Billion Genies.
Yeah, and how many of the genies are left? Or I should say, how many people on Earth are left?
By the end of the issue, or right toward the end, they say 1 billion and dropping of people. And that's down from 8. That's 7 billion people gone. And then 500 million genies available still.
Wow. Huh. Many genies.
Many genies were left. Also, a giant reveal about the genies toward the end of the issue, which I didn't see coming. I really, really love that series. And I only hate that it's monthly. I hate it. I hate waiting. I don't want to wait. I want the whole damn trade all done. This is one of those where I just have to have it the second it comes out. It's the greatest recommendation you ever made. I freaking love it. So nice job.
Wow. Nice job.
Yeah, nice job, Stephen.
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to give you a quick update on that. Also, I'm reading that they made a Dune adaptation here recently. Let's see. House of Atreides, I think, is the first volume.
Oh, yeah, at Boom Studios. There's actually another one after that that actually wraps up this week. The Waters of... What's that group's name? Weberly or something?
Oh, right. Crap. I forgot the name. I have it marked as one to get once I'm done here. But I really like it. It's very good. It's very adherent to the comics, or to the books, rather. And it's just nice to have visuals with that stuff. And I love all things Dune, so recommended that as well. All right. Let's get to the meat of today's discussions. Of course, Stephen, right, coming from...
Get to some meat, would
you? Yeah, you want some damn meat? How about this? Devil in the White City... Moving forward, you want to explain what that is and why we should care?
So, Arrows. So this is a really great book. This is kind of like a true crime story about the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. So there's the book that called Devil in the White City about one of the greatest, I wouldn't say greatest, but serial killer, Dr. H.H. Holmes, who built the murder castle in Chicago and was just like, you know, had secret compartments and, you know, piping gas into people's rooms and killing them in the middle of the night kind of stuff. And then totally saying, oh, that person checked out of our, you know, establishment months ago. We have no forwarding address on them. And then comparing that at the same time to the buildup of the World's Fair, which if you go back and look at the pictures, you see it's called the White City because everything is done in this kind of Greco-Roman marble-esque type stuff. And so there's this comparison between these two. Ever since this book has been released, and I would highly recommend people checking it out, they've been trying to people have been trying to adapt it into either a movie or a TV series. At one point, I know Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese were both involved in trying to get it developed. But now it's moving, instead of a movie, it's moving ahead as a TV series over at Hulu. And it's got Keanu Reeves playing Daniel Burnham, who is the guy who the architect behind the 1893 World's Fair or Chicago's World's Fair. Yeah.
OK, so he's not the killer.
No, which I find really remarkable because everything you read about Burnham is not Keanu Reeves, but everything you read about Holmes is totally Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
And I think the Dr. Holmes would be the one that is the more interesting character to play.
Yeah, there's something weird going on here. They have on his Wikipedia page, this Holmes guy, they have a photo of him, which looks like any posed photo in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
But it says his mugshot. Did they used to pose for mugshots in like bowler hats, suits, ties, angle it just right?
I have
like
no idea.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've read the books, about 5 or 6, 7 years, maybe more. But yeah, he was they chased him down all over the place trying. And, you know, he was changing identities and everything. I forget where they finally tracked him down because they were trying to look for these kids that were supposedly with him. He killed them all. Sorry. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember. I remember that they had him in custody, and then they brought him in where he kind of somewhat confessed, but also didn't confess to chloroforming and killing a bunch of people. The guy's just horrible. But
he admitted to 27 murders, according to this, but they're still believed to have been more.
Yeah,
he was only 34 when he was executed. 9 days before his birthday. So that means that a lot of the stuff was just like in his 20s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the story of how he ended up with the murder castle is interesting as well. That may have been, at least in the context of this story, his first murder, because he essentially killed the proprietor of the building and then faked a lot of paperwork to say that the guy left everything to him. And then he just went on this mad spree to just change the whole building into, you know, weird corners and dead ends and hidden rooms and all sorts of things for this. Yeah.
Wow. There's a post office there now where it used to be. They tore all that down. So now the real murder castle is the post office. Oh no.
Wait in line.
That's interesting. I don't think I know that. I'm always fascinated by serial killers. I don't know why. I just am. Like a lot of people are. It's the whole true crime thing. It works on me. But I don't know why I don't know anything about this dude. So maybe this book's worth picking up.
Yeah, it is. And I will give some people a little bit of warning. If you do read the book, or even better, listen to the audiobook, it flip-flops back and forth. The two characters, Burnham and Holmes, never really meet. And so on the one hand, you're getting these great inspirational stories of how Burnham really kind of changed the face of the World's Fair and brought all of these things like the Midway and the Ferris wheel and all of these things that made their appearance here. And so it's really, really uplifting stuff. And then you flip to the next chapter and it's all about Holmes and him killing these people and the suspicions of who he may or may not have killed. So it really is this constant circle of really, really high to really, really dark lows in the book. But it's fascinating throughout.
It's crazy. I'm looking at his photo again, and he's only 23 in this photo. And everyone back then looks 68. I don't understand. I don't get it. That's so weird to me. Smoking, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, well, there you go. That's happening. And get your Keanu Reeves on, everybody, because there he is doing his whoa. All right. Moving on. We now know what Dan DiDio is working on. He kind of went dark for a bit there.
Yeah, and that's probably once he was let go over at DC Comics. He was probably under some kind of no-compete clause that said for 2 years you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so now he and Frank Miller are back with Frank Miller Publishing. And over this past weekend at the Boston Fan Expo, during one of the events, they revealed one of the first projects coming out of the Frank Miller Publishing is going to be a Sin City project that's been sitting around for a while. Sin City 1858. Let's take everything you love about Sin City and put it in the Old West.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And then Dan DiDio's also got a kind of a superhero kind of story going on in his as well. These are going to be initially the Ash Can is out now. Supposedly, if you go to your comic book shop this week, you should be able to pick up the Ash Can for free. But apparently it's already going on eBay for like $30 for this this early print preview of all the comics that are coming out.
So this is called the initial series Wanted Sin City 1858 Blood and Dust.
Yeah,
I'm in.
I am too. I know. I don't
it's
know.
Like, it's just made for Scott, right?
Yeah, it's just built for me. I'm totally in on this. Yeah.
Frank Miller's art has radically changed since, you know, the very first Sin City. So when you're looking at that cover of the Mesoamerican or whoever this is on the cover, it doesn't really look. I mean, you can see the stylings there, but it doesn't look like the Frank Miller that you remember. And so I think that that's going to, even in his later Dark Knight Returns, part 3 and 4 and whatever other stuff he was doing, it doesn't look like his art anymore.
Do you think his, I saw him, he accepted some award here recently or gave one or something at Comic-Con? Mm-hmm.
Probably.
And he's something's up with his back. And yes. I don't know if everyone's talked about it. Is it because he's hunched over writing and drawing all the time? Do you know?
I don't remember. I think he has another illness that is doing that too.
Okay, so something's causing this, or it's some other unconnected thing. Because he's just, it looks so bent out of shape. And when I saw it, I went, "Oh, this isn't because." I mean, I draw like this a lot. Am I setting myself up for Frank Miller back one day?
Oh, right. Yeah. No kidding.
You know.
Now that you've talked about him.
Oh yeah, I gotta quit mentioning. We can't say names of celebrities. We get in trouble.
Whatever.
Yeah. But he's always just bent into the left a little bit, and it's not, I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't know what's going on with the poor guy. You know, I know he had his little moment of ugly not long ago, but then I guess he's really apologetic about that stuff. It's like I didn't know what I was saying.
Oh yeah, his Holy Terror or whatever it is, just try to avoid that at all costs because that is like the worst of all comics ever made.
Yeah, and he claims to have. He doesn't think that way anymore, he says.
No, he said he was very angry after 9/11, and that really drove a lot of what that was. And then, he's kind of gone back and said, you know, I was very hot-headed at the time, and I've changed. So. Yeah,
and he wrote RoboCop 2. That'll mess anyone up, you know? Anyway, is that true? Or did I make that up? I made that up. Frank Miller.
That I don't know.
Robo.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, he wrote RoboCop 2.
Did he really?
Yeah, okay. He did. I knew I wasn't losing my mind. Written by Frank Miller, co-written by Wallen Green, and I think
I wonder how many of us tried to forget that.
Like, he also wrote RoboCop 3.
Oh, geez.
And
three so bad.
He was a screenwriter on The Spirit. Of course, he wrote The Spirit. Guys, all remember that?
Yeah, sure. I remember The Spirit.
Oh, we watched it for Film Sack.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Or did we watch The Spirit?
No, we watched The Shadow. Yeah.
Oh man, you should watch The Spirit.
We thought we've talked about it. We need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get that done.
I mean, it's prepare yourselves. It's pretty bad.
All right. Before you go, because I just always end up liking your recommendations, do you have any hot recommendations this week? Like new comics or?
Oh, let's see. What do we have coming out this week that I would recommend? Let me just.
Oh, and I bought your Supergirl thing finally, so it's sitting there ready to go.
So yes, you will definitely need to go and check that out.
Yeah.
Let's see, if you are a fan of Dark and Grim, of course DC Comics is still doing their Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths event right now. That's kind of their big thing. Marvel Comics has some Avengers X-Men Elementals. Event that's going on. So the Death to Mutants #1 comes out this week.
So some Eternals stuff going on there probably.
Yeah. The Eternals are involved in this as well. I don't know the whole story on it. Cause it's just like, oh my God, I got to buy 13 times the number of comics just to find out what's going on in this story.
Right. Yes, exactly. Like massive. Yeah. I'll wait for them to all show up on Unlimited for that business.
Yeah.
There was a great Hellboy story that came out last week. Hellboy 1957, where he and a fellow BPRD agent go out hunting for cryptids.
I heard about that. Yeah,
that one was really pretty fun.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So really all we need to do, you know, is your comic book sequels, just take them back a few years. So, yeah. You know, Sin City and Hellboy and yeah. I know we did the Marvel one, 1602 or something like that.
I mm-hmm. loved that Marvel one.
That was good. Yeah.
And that recent Darkest Night, or what's it called? That's like Middle Ages.
Oh, where all the electric. Yeah. Dear listener, when Scott is talking about a new comic that's just come out, he's talking about a new comic that just came out on the Unlimited series, which is 6 months to a year behind.
Yeah. Well, no, that one's still newish, right? I'm not making that one up. No,
that's like a year old. So
I'm thinking of something else then. Hold on.
If it's the same one we're thinking of, it's the one where like the power goes out all across the earth.
No, not that one. This is one where they're actually in like Arthurian legend era alternate universe DC stuff, and it just ended. But I don't think it's even on the app yet.
If you're into dinosaurs, there's a Jurassic League where what if all of the DC superheroes but dinosaurs?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if that may be a step too far. You know, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Marvel this week, if you like your time traveling adventures, they have Avengers 1 million BC.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Somebody's just decided, let's go the oldest we can possibly.
Yeah.
May as well. Wow. Gosh dang it. I can't find the name of the thing. It's recent-ish, and it's like one of the Toms.
I believe you.
I can't think of it. It's really good, though. Someone in the chat, come on now. You guys are better at this usually. Post it in there, damn it.
This week, surprisingly, seems relatively light from my perspective as I'm putting the previews together.
Knights of Steel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I know what you're talking about now. Continue. Yeah, that's medieval stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are not quite in a fifth week, but we're also kind of a week in between Comic Cons. This week we have not this past weekend, but 2 weekends ago, we had the C2E2 convention. This weekend is the Emerald City Comic Con. And that will probably, we're going to be coasting out of the Comic-Con season as we approach September. And between September and November, it's generally a slow time for publishers because everyone's back to school and a lot of other activities.
Right.
There's going to be, you know, some weeks where there's going to be a ton of comics and some weeks where there's going to be very few comics.
Yeah. Well, get used to it, everybody. It's fall. Most kids are. Yes. Are your kids back in? They're back in now, or
they start this week. This week. Both of them go back on Wednesday for full day and continue on from there. So
Wednesday start. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know why they tend to make Monday, Tuesday the in service so teachers can do their last minute prep.
Oh yeah.
And then the kids used to be they went back for half a day, but this year they're like, nope, we're going to keep them here for the full day. And I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Yep, got to edumacate them. Get them going. Yep. Get them out there. Tom Taylor, there's the answer. Gosh dang it. All these things my brain wouldn't let me say. The chat room is fixed. Thank you, chat room. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
One more. Batman One Bad Day, The Riddler.
What
is the thing that sends the Riddler over the edge? It's been very much hyped by DC Comics. It's out this week. It is an expensive book. It's an $8 comic
book.
But that is your Tom King and Mitch Gerard's comic.
I love Tom King.
That people are talking about.
So. Also just read the new, the first issue of, I bought this just brand new day one because I love the Deceased series so much.
Oh, yeah.
And
if you like that, how about DC versus Vampires, which is a thing that's been going on as well.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I'll get that. I don't like vampires as much as like undead and stuff, but I'll check out. No,
these are totally vampires. So.
Okay. All right.
DC's got like so many different event things going on at the same time. It's just weird.
It's a lot right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt. But the Deceased series is one of my favorites. I freaking love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, first issue, very good. I will recommend it. Supergirl has a bad turn, though. Whew, man.
They all do eventually.
Check it out, majorspoilers.com, all week and every day. You'll find cool stuff about everything you're into, whether it's comics, movies, pop culture, whatever. It's one of my go-to links every morning. You should be yours as well. So go check it out. Steven Schleicher, everybody.
Stay hydrated, everyone.
Yeah, stay hot. Get some water. Drink some water. Bye now.
Be hot.
Yeah, it is going to be hot. It's very hot. Although we have a lot of overcast weather today, and I love it because I can go out and hang out in it. It's nice.
Oh, nice.
Well, there you go.
The heat, not the sun.
Today, no mashup, and you might say, why, Scott? I would say because Jamie had COVID. He is recovering and doing much better.
Yeah.
But it meant a lot of craziness around his house. His kids now have it, and his wife's got a lot on her hands. He's got a new job that starts, I think, today or tomorrow.
Today,
it's
like, yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
It is a lot. A lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And so he sent me a TMS classic. This is Scott's dream about Brian's severed head.
I love it. Good.
Yeah. So no mashup, but still a fun look in the past. So enjoy. I had a dream that made me check on Brian for his safety and his well-being. And in the dream, we were at some big movie premiere, and for some reason it had an intermission. And it was me, it was this weird old man, couldn't tell you who he is or what he is now. It's too far gone now, I don't remember. But you were in it, and you were very distinctly in it. I remember that like nothing else. You and I were at this premiere, and the dream started when the thing came up and said intermission. And okay. We all walked out to go to the lobby and to go to the bathroom. Everything seems fine. You say to me, oh, there they are. Let's go in there. I say, okay. And I'm right behind you. You haven't heard this story yet.
No.
So we're trotting up to the bathroom. It's just a couple of doors. Old man goes through that we're with, whoever that is. Uh-huh. You go through. And then a guy in all black ninja costume, couldn't see any facial or anything, just all black.
Right.
Busts in front of me, jerks in there in front of me, and then shuts the door, pushes it shut. And I went, what is this about? And I got up to the door to go push it, and I push it a little bit, and I see the black hand on the other side, the clothed hand, slam it as hard as he could back at me.
Oh,
slammed it.
Okay.
And then put something up so nobody could get in.
All right.
And then somehow in dream sense, it made sense for me to just sit outside and wait again. Right.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
I'll just wait. Turn on a fan when you're done.
Exactly. So I'm out there in the hallway waiting for what's going on, and we hear screaming and yelling in there.
Oh, geez. Okay.
It's real bad. It's one of those dreams where you really feel like, oh, something terrible. This is just awful. And it was one of those dreams that felt so real to me that when I woke up, it took me a while, maybe a couple hours, to just kind of get over the feeling of it.
Weird.
Yeah, I didn't like this at all. It was awful. Here's how it went down for you. Door finally opens. Uh-huh. Now suddenly there are like police, FBI, paramedic people everywhere. And they wheel out the old man in pieces. He's laying on a table where his arms are segmented, his legs are segmented, and his torso is just laying there. And he's got this blank stare on his face. But he's still alive somehow or something. But then I'm like, wait, what has happened to my friend Brian is what's in my head.
Yeah.
They come out of there with a wheelchair with nothing but your severed head on the wheelchair. And you turn around and you're getting wheeled out and you're just kind of blank faced, like almost like you're dead, just a head.
Uh-huh.
And they wheel you past me and I'm like in shock going, but that's Brian, you know.
Oh my God.
And they go down to the end of the hall. Suddenly they stop. They move out of the way. You turn your head around.
I can't wait to hear what I say.
And you went, you're not going to like it. You turn around and you went, like that. Was really bad. And I woke up in kind of a sweat going, oh my gosh, what the hell? So I texted Brian. All right, man, just you're not a head somewhere on a table being kept alive or anything weird, right? So, yeah, I don't know what to say about that other than to say that was terrible. And don't go into that bathroom, dude. Just don't go in there.
That's such a weird. Now it's more vivid than ever just hearing myself tell the story again.
No kidding.
I've kind of forgotten it.
You're visualizing it again. Now you're going to have that dream again.
Now I'm going to dream it again. All my dreams lately, though, are about being late for something or missing something. That's my dreams now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
I hate it.
Obviously, you know, that you know, the people who say, oh, dreams don't mean anything. I feel like that one, they could say, well, that probably just means that you're really worried about being late for something.
Yeah. I mean, it literally means what it means.
Maybe something specific or just being late, you know.
I mean, in every dream, I kind of don't remember last night's, but it was kind of a random, like, oh, you can't, you're not going to make it because you're late, or I don't know what it was.
Right. Right.
I hate that feeling, though. Freaking hate it. Well, anyway, Brian, you're still here. Your head is on your shoulders.
My shoulders, and I can talk. See,
he knows how to talk. Yep. We got an email I want to read real quick from Dan Youp. Is his name?
Youp. Dan Youp.
Dan Youp.
Send and receive email.
He sent that email to themorningstream@gmail.com, and he says, hey, Brian and Scott, when did people start giving you goofy names when they write in? Says Dan
Youp. S&B equivalents to usually the topic that they're sending their email in about.
Yeah, almost always. And I noticed he didn't do it.
Scotch and bourbon, very common scotch and bourbon.
Yeah, I noticed he didn't do it, but also he has a weird name.
Oh.
So there's that.
That's no excuse.
Yeah, I agree.
I would think actually him having a weird name, and I'm sure that's a fake name. I'm sure his name isn't really Dan Youp.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. But I don't remember this. Do you remember when? I don't have
no idea. When that started?
Yeah, years ago. Years and years.
Early on, yeah.
Maybe 8 years ago, I would say.
I'd say I'd even go later or earlier than that. And so this is a good, you know, while you're recuperating, Jamie, and not doing anything but just sitting there, you know, go back and listen through and figure out when the first emails received.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
I wonder, yeah, there's nothing you could search for in the TMS email to see when it first happened, right?
No, I don't have a way to do that. I don't have a way to do... I mean, because I don't know what I'd be searching for. It'd be like...
Right.
You know, like what...
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be. I could probably find the
first
time.
It's earlier than... I think it's earlier than Love the Show, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Love the Show, though, came a little bit later. So, yeah, we're talking... Yeah. We're probably talking like 2012, 20, yeah. maybe even
yeah.
11.
First couple of years, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Anyway, there's your answer, Dan Yoop, if that is your real name.
Yoop.
Quick couple things. Our Patreon had a bunch of new folks join since we last spoke, so I wanted to mention their names. Yeah, check out these names. Frank Andrusowitz. Do you think that's right? Okay.
Andrusowitz. All right. Why not?
Sean Priest. Exonus. That's a cool name.
Arxonius.
Arxonius. Exon. Exonius. Whatever it is.
Exonius.
Exon is us. I don't know. Exxon is now supporting the show. Check it out.
Exxon I us.
Terry Davis, Neil Jose or Josie. I don't know. Probably it just depends. Probably Jose. And and we did this guy's name on Film Sec, didn't we?
Kian, yes. Kian Rowlands. Kian.
Yeah. Kian. So welcome to the show, you guys. You guys are all awesome.
Unless it's pronounced Sean. He still has not written in to say how his name is pronounced because it's
no correction.
Most likely Kian, but there were a couple people who said it could be Sean.
Could be. We've gotten more emails from people with ideas and never him. So I don't know why.
Yeah, no. Nope. Your ideas are, thank you for your ideas, but we want the actual source.
Yes, thank you.
There's only one person who can answer this question.
Absolutely. Frogpants.com/TMS is a place you can find a link to that or just go straight there. Patreon.com/TMS. For all else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. And I think that's going to do it for today's show. We usually end the show with a song and... Well, today is no different. So, Brian, play a song.
For sure. Well, we mentioned him earlier, so I'm glad we get to dedicate a request to him. Hey, Biscuit and Sausage. There's one. Today marks the first day of training for my new position after working for the company for the last 15 years. This is a mashups, TMS mashups, Jamie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It took a solid 4 months of various stages and hours of interview prep, but in the end... It doesn't even matter. In the end, I landed one of the positions they were hiring for. This marks the start of a new chapter in my life and my family's life. I trust the cover master to play an appropriate song for this momentous occasion as I start this new adventure in a completely different field. Scott, give me your 5 to 10 best scream clips.
Oh, my
gosh. And you get an added bonus for that's not it. So,
oh, man. All right, we'll give my best. I don't have a best list. I'll just play you the
scream clips. That's
I'll
all.
Play you the shortest. Here we go. That's Veronica. All right. That's me. That's me. There's your top 10.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That just reminded me, by the way, we went to the Broncos game on Saturday night, the first preseason game.
Yeah.
And the girl who was sitting behind me, and I commented to Tina on this and she laughed and I completely forgot. And I wish I could have recorded it. But anytime there was a play where the Broncos were trying to gain some forward momentum, so didn't care about the Cowboys, but she was like, you know, whenever the Broncos were trying to pass or run, whatever, she would sound like you playing a scary video game. She'd be like, ah, just like we just heard, or no, like,
awesome.
Like trying to like watching some guy kind of juke around another, a defensive man and that sort of thing.
Did she ever yell shit potatoes? Did that happen?
She never did. Never said anything about Mark Knopfler's nipple or anything like that.
Yeah.
anything like that. So anyway.
That's a shame. You know,
that is a shame.
Really,
yeah,
that's
I need to work on that. Maybe I'll do that next time. Oh, Mark Knopfler's nipple.
Were there a bunch of fights? I heard there was a bunch of fights, like the teams were fighting.
Yeah, near the end there were, and we bailed out because it started raining on us in the middle, late third quarter, and Broncos were well ahead. So we're like, it's a preseason game. It's raining on us. I said, Tina, ball's totally in your court. I will happily do whatever you want to do. You want to stay, we'll stay. You want to go, we'll go. She's like, let's go.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
There we go. Yeah. Jamie closed out his email with shove a hobo with his drobo, not a ho though for the horde bro in the sun though. All right, Jamie. Well, hope you're doing better, man. And you requested a song about overcoming challenges. reaching the top, moving up in the world, etc. I hope I've picked a song that you like because it's an inspirational piece. It's about a woman who was you know, faced with severe challenges, her job, her life, her the place that she was living, you know, and her dreams of basically of doing the things that she wanted to do, the dance that she wanted to do, which, you know, involves sitting on a chair and pulling a cord and having water dump on her. She's just a Steel Town girl on a Saturday night. Yeah, the song is Maniac by Michael Cimbello. Here is a cover by AWOL Nation. This is from the brand new all cover album they released called My Echo, My Shadow, My Covers and Me. Dude, this album is fantastic. AWOL Nation and Nothing But Thieves with Maniac.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
The store is closed.
Okay, Doc.